We're going down to L.A., bringing in a senior writer for MLB.com who's seen a lot of Jake Peavy over the years, and that is Barry Bloom. Barry, how are you today?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Very good. Very good today. And you've seen a lot of Peavy over the years. As a person, a competitor, a guy who takes the ball, what's your take on Peavy?
You know, he's a great competitor. He's a great guy. I mean, you know, I've known him since he was 19 years old. I mean, his tendency in bigger game situations is to get overamped. And I think that's one of the reasons why over time his postseason numbers have been so bad. But recently, I just don't know how much he has left just watching him pitch. He admits that he's doing it on errors. And, you know, he still has an 88, 89-mile-an-hour fastball when he can crank it up. And then the idea is just to create some distance between that and his breaking pitches so that he can move the ball around in the zone and pull some people, because, as you know, the changeup comes out of your hand much the same way a fastball does. So hitters have to guess which is coming, and that's why a changeup pitcher is so effective.
Well, he comes back from a big injury, and the heart is there. The competition is there. The question is, can he move the hip and the back and the ankle and get all that done today? And the Giants have to see it, so he's out there today. So we'll see what happens. Barry, you're in L.A. Very interesting series because we get the Mets here next week. You and I, about a month ago, talked about the Mets, and we had Bill Madden on, and he was singing the praises of the Mets. You were a little more circumspect about the Mets. They've got Steven Matz up now. We don't see any of the big guys other than DeGrom on Wednesday. You get to see a great series down there with the Dodgers. What do you expect?
You know, not a lot of hitting. It's I mean, that's basically what you get with the Mets when, you know, all their guys are on. And they're in the six-man rotation now, which, you know, once they brought Matz up and sent, you know, one of the other guys down, the you know, they'd set this thing to give Harvey and the guys a little bit of a break, because they're very concerned about the fact that all these guys have had Tommy John surgery, four out of their five guys in the rotation now, all the young guys have had it. So they're basically trying to get a position where do they give them enough space to get into a rhythm, and do they also keep them from putting too much stress on their arms so they don't have recurring injuries. And it's a balance, and there's no really way of knowing what works and what doesn't. And obviously, really, what doesn't work seems to be babying these guys, because they still have the injuries and the recurring injuries anyway. It's very hard, for Tommy John surgery people to come to pitchers to come back. And I was on a telephone call this week with John Smoltz and Dr. Andrews, who does a lot of these now. And basically, he said that one in 100 of his patients are coming back to get the surgery again at least once. And he also said that it's a myth that lead pitchers throw as hard after the surgery as they did before. So I think it's a lot to watch with the Mets gloves. You know, out of all the pieces, the only one in starting rotation now hasn't had the surgery.
Well, you know, we get to see DeGrom here. I sense there's a lot of frustration around the Mets. And again, we see him here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I think as the summer goes on, you look for those teams. And I'm sure we'll be talking over this month. There, you know, separation comes this month of July. I guarantee you, after the All-Star break, one or two teams in both leagues will disappear from the pennant race. And the Mets are kind of right there. The Cubs are still there. The Pirates are there. Washington is there. The Giants and Dodgers. You got about seven teams in there, Cardinals as well, obviously. But I sense a real frustration with DeGrom. He slammed his hand into the water cooler yesterday. Terry Collins is talking about have fun out there. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. Joe Madden, it was a crazy series with the Cubs. He brought in a magician to get everyone to relax. And Terry Collins is just trying to, who's so tightly wound, saying, everyone, take it easy, take it easy. And DeGrom slams his hand into one of those Gatorade water cooler things. So I see a lot of tension around the Mets.
Yeah, well, starting off, number one, because there is a multiplicity to the statement in question you just threw out there. And I think most of it was a statement, not a question. But the point is, I think there are four teams in the National League. That's it. I mean, it's the same four teams as last year. Giants, Dodgers, Nationals, and St. Louis. And then with the wild card, you're going to get possibly somebody creeping in like the Mets or the Cubs, depending on what happens in the second half of the season. But pretty much, you know, where if you look at it right now, you know, the Pirates are kind of on the brink there for the wild card. But the Central Division is finished. You have teams with the same records as the Dodgers and Giants who are 9, 10, 11 games out already in the Central Division. So it's just basically where you play and who you're batting up against at this point. Because a team with a better record than the Giants could wind up not making the playoffs this year and vice versa. So, I mean, you know, depending on where you go with the wild card. So, you know, certainly those teams are not going to win. And then the Mets are, you know, the problem with the Mets is that everything is essentially based on, you know, Paul DePodesta sitting in his house in San Diego, crunching numbers and giving those numbers to Sandy Alderson and the people in New York. And then basically they pass them on to Collins and tell him, you know, do what you want with them, but if you don't follow what we're saying, it's your head. This is where it all is. There's very little, you know, feel for the people there. And I think that's why you get the frustration, because, you know, guys don't know what they're doing. They've done this six-man, five-man, six-man rotation for weeks. I mean, I saw them out here a month ago, and they were talking about that and then reverted because Harvey doesn't like it. He wants to pitch on 5 days rest, you know, and they're afraid that Harvey's going to hurt himself again, and I don't blame him. But still, you have to unleash these guys and let them go and determine what's going to happen for the future. If the guy blows out his arm, it's going to blow it out, whether it's a start now or five starts down the road, it's just going to happen because it's a secondary ligament. And if for most people who don't understand what they do with this thing, what they do is once that ligament in the elbow tears, they go into another part of the body, usually the opposite wrist, take out another ligament, put it in there into the elbow. So it's a secondary ligament that's not built for the crank and the amount of pressure that you have to put on your pitching arm to pitch. So the chances of it breaking again are pretty good. And now when you go in a second time, you have to go to another part of the body to get another ligament to do this. So it's fraught with all kinds of danger. And you know, I thought Andrews had a lot of great comments about why this is happening, how they're analyzing it now. There's a research committee at Major League Baseball at the highest levels that Andrew's on that, you know, they're talking about this. And, you know, Smoltz said it's too much pitching early and trying to max out on every pitch because that's what they want you to do. You've got that gun up on the scoreboard. They want you to hit 98. That's what's sexy. And people don't know how to pitch, and they don't know how to mix it up. And he said he's going to be the only the only Tommy John guy going into the Hall of Fame after that injury. He said even he, before and after the injury, he never threw with that kind of torque. He never threw it max on every pitch. He mixed it up, and he learned how to pitch. And that was where Glavin, Maddux, and Smoltz were. And they all, you know, went into the hole in the last 2 years.
Well, I love it. We saw Jose Fernandez yesterday, and obviously Matt Cain came back, not from Tommy John, but you see Tommy John all the time in baseball. All right, let's talk about the Dodgers. All-stars, Kershaw, a dead bang, all-stars, does he have to get on? Because Greinke will probably get on. What about Kershaw?
You know, unless the players vote him on, you know, obviously, the pitchers are picked by the players, and then the ones who aren't picked are picked by the managers. You know, if it's up to Bochy, do you think Bochy is going to pick Kershaw? I don't think so.
Okay.
You know, really. You know, and it's like, you know, he'll pick a secondary guy from his own team, which is what managers do. That's their right. They managed the world champions the year before. They're managing the All-Star game. If they've got a guy like they think, you know, one of the relievers or Vogelsong or somebody has had a great first half, they're going to put him on. And you're going to go, why do they put him on over this guy? You know, to me, even though he missed the first 6 weeks of the season, if I were going to put two Dodger pitchers on, it would be Greinke and Jansen. Because Jansen's had a great has had a great run since he's been back, and he really is a really big key to that team. If they can get from the starting pitcher to him, which is always the problem with that.
All right, Barry Bloom with us, MLB.com, a senior writer. One other thing, it's good to catch up with the Mets story because it's coming here next week, so we'll see what that looks like. But Yasiel Puig, there was an article this week that the teammates can't stand him and all that. What's going on around that? Have you heard that?
I don't think that's anything new. I mean, you know, in fact, I had a kind of a sidebar session with Donnie Mattingly about this earlier. You know, they had their chance with Puig when he came up to basically tell him, look, you're going to act a certain way or you're not. And if you don't want to act the way we want you to act, accordingly, you are not going to play. So you tell us what you want to do. And this was when he was missing games, coming to the ballpark late, getting arrested for speeding. But he came up and he had that such a good month of June 2 years ago that they started marketing him right away. It was they started selling Puig jerseys, selling merchandise. And they couldn't do it, you know, so they created a monster. And here you are, you know, 2 years down the road. And I think he's a nice kid. But, you know, the problem is they set up a situation there where there, you know, were different rules for different players in the clubhouse. And it gives a sense that, you know, Mattingly really doesn't have much control of the clubhouse. He's just got to let it roll. And the guy in there who, you know, great player, but he's always the white noise in the clubhouse. He was that way with the Padres, certainly with the Red Sox, is Adrian. You know, he's not a leader. He would have been one of those guys, pulled Puig aside and, you know, show him the ropes. Yeah, you know, Hanley, I mean, he was Mexican-American. He's Mexican-American. And Puig is Cuban. But they're all Latins, and there doesn't seem to be any cohesion, particularly when Hanley was also there, and there was just huge personality problems. And then you throw Crawford into the mix, it's crazy. So, yeah, he's got a lot to deal with there. And, you know, I'm not sure that the players all like each other, period. I mean, it's not a team with a lot of cohesion to it.
Yeah, boy, it's going to be a great summer. It really is, because the Dodgers aren't running away from anybody. They got pitching issues there. Making all these deals with minor leaguers, international signing bonuses being thrown around here over the last couple of days. The Giants have spent $6 million on Lucius Fox. My God, they gave him more than Posey for an 18-year-old kid from the Bahamas who went to high school in the U.S. But I think we're in for a great summer. You're off to the All-Star game, I take it, next week?
Actually, I'm not.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm a healthy scratch from the All-Star game this year, which is all well and good because I've got the Hall of Fame right after that, and I've been on the road incessantly really since the start of spring training. So it gives me a rare break, and I really don't need Cincinnati in the middle of the summer. I'll pick it up again in San Diego next year.
Ah, terrific.
But, you know, but the point is, you know, I think you make good points, and I think, you know, watching the Dodgers, it's amazing to me. I just wrote about this the other day. I mean, their starting pitching is a patchwork, and their so is their bullpen. But they've got the third or fourth best ERA in all of baseball, and their starters have the sixth or seventh alone. You know, they had relievers had a glitch the other night on Monday night against the Diamondbacks when Bolsinger had to come out because of food poisoning after four innings, and then they just bullpen got lit up for 10 runs. But that hasn't been the case. Mostly they went back the next two nights. And the bullpen pitched very well. you know, and threw up a lot of zeros. But, you know, really, when you lose McCarthy, you lose Ryu, you know, there it's even worse for them than it was for the Giants, because at least they have PD and Kane coming back, and we'll see what kind of semblance of form they have. But Ryu and McCarthy are gone, so they have to patchwork it. And you know who's pitching really well, and I always see this, when he's healthy, Brett Anderson is really good. I've always liked Brett Anderson.
Hey,
and
listen, it's a fight.
He's pitching really well.
This is the time of year it's a fight, and you get into it. You know, you say this or that, and the Giants are making moves right and left. Josh Osich is up in the clubhouse now. Left-hander, so the notes aren't even out yet. They're not done dealing internally today. This is the fight.
I was watching the game yesterday, and they put a guy named Mike Brunway on the mound. Who the hell is he?
I don't know, but Osich is up. He's a left-hander. Javier Lopez is going to, you know, close with Romo. Maybe Casilla goes on the DL. But July 1st signifies the fight, and now you fight through the summer. And the teams that are in it start fighting when they realize, hey, we need help. And I think that's what the Giants are doing, and I see the Dodgers probably doing it. And that's what I love about the game. I love the fight in July and August.
Well, what's great about it is that, you know, the division is wide open. It's the only one in the National League that is. I mean, I think Washington will ultimately create a lot of distance between the Braves and the Mets. And the Cardinals have already run away with it. I don't see any of those teams catching the Cardinals. And so, you know, really the only division that's up for grabs is this division. And this time the Dodgers, if you remember last year at this time, the Dodgers had exactly the same record, and they were coming back from 8.5 behind the Giants. This year they're in first place. Every year is a different story.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, I think now we're at the spot, halfway mark of the season. We know what's what. It's not going to change. You know, major injuries will impact what happens the rest of the season. And it should be a darn good race for the Dodgers and Giants, you know, which is one everybody always loves.
Yeah, it's the fight. This is where the fight starts. July 1st, the fight starts. And especially for teams that know they're in it and they can win it. So I like it. Hey, have a great weekend. And I can't wait to see what the Mets look like this weekend. They're throwing the big guys against the Dodgers. Harvey, Mats, and Syndergaard. So that should be good. We get the Mets here next week, and then the Phillies, and then the break, and then after the break, here we go. So it's a good time of year, and I appreciate that you're involved with it.
Yeah, I think it's Syndergaard against Kershaw tonight, isn't it?
I didn't look exactly, but yeah, I know that.
I think it's Syndergaard against Kershaw, and it's Harvey against Greinke, which make it two great matchups in the next 2 days.
Oh, good.
I was asking Mattingly about it. And I go, I know you guys don't like to think too far ahead, but those are great matchups this weekend. And he goes, really, I don't even know those are the matchups. I'm just trying to get through today.
Well, that's, you know, we're all day to day. You know that. All right.
Yeah,
all right.
I'm definitely day to day.
All right. Barry, thanks so much.
Now I'm stuck in traffic, so I'm really day to day.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Barry Bloom, senior writer for MLB.com. Always fun.